Let's pray. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Amen. You may be seated. Can we talk for a few minutes about the epistle reading, Philippians 4, 4 through 7? I want to read the back half of it to you. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious for anything, Paul says here. It's one of the last things he says to the church at Philippi in this letter. Anxiety is it's a problem of epidemic proportions. I'm going to guess that a large chunk of you are grappling with anxiety now. I know that when people come and talk to me about different issues in their lives, one of the things that almost always comes up is they will say, I struggle with anxiety, things that that they are nervous about, things that they can't stop thinking and fretting about. There's lots of different things. I mean, there's a spectrum of these issues that people have anxiety about in their lives. Sometimes it's about finances. Just worrying that you're going to have money in the future, that you're going to be able to provide for your family, that you're going to be able to provide for yourself, that you're going to have enough to retire. I think that actually the younger people get, millennials actually, this is something that really, really deeply worries them. Are they going to be able to make a living in this system, in this economic system? So I mean, a lot of us worry about finances, but you know, some of us actually struggle with it. We just can't shake it out of our heads, this fear that we at some point won't have enough. Sometimes it's performing. Like if you have to do something, there's a task that you have to do and it really worries you. I'm always anxious. Every time I stand up in front of you and preach, I'm always anxious. And the reason why is because I don't want to say something dumb that's going to be embarrassing to me. Maybe even worse, I don't want to be boring. I want to be interesting. You know, this sort of like, this is one of the things anxiety comes from, is this sort of like turned in on yourself, concern about me. And is this going to work out? Is this performance going to be attractive to you guys? This is something I always have to repent of. I always have to be telling myself, don't be anxious about this, but trust in God. This is God's word and his message, and you're his people, and this is his church. And it's his Holy Spirit who does work in our hearts. Meeting expectations. This is kind of sometimes related to performance. I talk to, if there's a high school student who emails me and says, I want to talk to you about something, 95% of the time they're going to say, I have anxiety issues. 75% of those 5% are going to say, I work real hard to get good grades, and I'm just worried that I'm not going to get into the college that I want to get into. And a lot of times they end up saying, my parents are always on me about you need to study harder, and I'm trying to, and I can't hardly sleep at night, and I break out in rashes because I just worry about my grades. This sort of like, I'm going to be straight-A student, and then my parents will be happy with me, or then I'll get into the college that I want to get into. This anxiety is debilitating. And God doesn't want you to have it. He says, don't be anxious for these sorts of things. Death, of course. I mean, it's the specter that's looming sometimes close, sometimes far away. But the thing about it is you can't see where it's at. It could be as close as 10 seconds away. And then it's final. It's done, right? You're dead. And all of you at some point are scared of death. Some of you, it keeps you up at night, though. You're anxious about the future of your life. Losing control. So I find this to be the case. Sometimes in my own life, there will be different little areas of my life where things are sort of out of control at the time. If I can find one little area of my life that I can have control, I can turn it into an obsession. This is my territory and nobody can mess with it. And then if it does get messed with, I just sort of crumble, right? Because this is my identity. I'm worried about having control. I need to have at least one part of my life where I'm completely in charge of it. It's the kind of things that make us anxious. And the text here says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Why does God tell you not to be anxious about anything? Is it because God knows that anxiety is no fun. And it's kind of uncomfortable to be anxious, you know. It's hard to get sleep. Your eating patterns are messed up. Your relationships end up getting a little wonky. And God doesn't want you to live like that. Okay, so, that's maybe a side effect. God wants you to be at peace. God wants you to be more relaxed in your life. But the main reason why is because God wants you. He wants you. Remember what Luther says about the first commandment. It means we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We are to fear God above all things. We're not to fear our finances. We're not to fear death. We're not to fear getting good grades or getting bad grades. We're not to fear losing control of our lives. There's only one thing in the entire universe that's genuinely scary, and that thing is the Creator God. And when you take the fear that belongs to Him and you give it to your money, or to that relationship that you're struggling with right now, what you're doing is you're taking what belongs to God and you're shifting it over somewhere else. You're taking your eyes off of God and you're putting them on something else. This is idolatry, right? So idolatry, fear, saps you away from the Lord, drags your eyes over to something that you should not be focused on. Don't be worried about what you eat or drink or what you'll be clothed with. Matthew actually uses the same word for anxiety that Paul uses here. But seek first God and His kingdom. He can take care of all this other stuff. He can take care of your grades. He can take care of your relationships. He wants you. Okay, everything I've said so far, I believe it's true because Paul's saying it in Philippians chapter 4. But it is inadequate up to this point because up to this point, I haven't really told you how to get rid of your anxieties and turn to God. And I haven't told you what God is going to do for you to take your anxieties and turn yourself to Him. And that's what this next part is. First of all, what should we do about our anxieties? Here's what Paul says. Verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but here's your alternative to anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So prayer. And then I think this is what Paul's doing. I think he's saying there's prayer. And let me explain what I mean by prayer, Paul says. Prayer, what I mean is supplication and thanksgiving. What's supplication? Let's talk about those two things. Supplication is asking God for something. Like, pray and ask God to be with your finances or with your relationship or to rescue you from death or to make you trust Him that He'll take care of these things. Go to God and ask, see what you're doing? This takes us back to the readings from last week about turning to the Lord. You're turning away from your anxieties, and you're turning to God and saying, okay, God, I'm not going to, money, I need you to take care of that. I need you to deal with my relationships. I need you to deal with my grades. I'm giving these things to you. You ask God to take care of them. Don't worry about them yourself. And then thanksgiving, what does thanksgiving mean? You give thanks to God for whatever it is. You're basically saying to God when you thank Him, okay, I want you to take care of my finances. But if you don't, I'm thanking you anyway because I trust you that you're in charge. I had a student who came and talked to me several years ago, a high school student, and she was one who, like, you know, straight A's all the way through, and she was completely stressed out about her grades. And I said to her, this is horrible advice. I said, you know what you need to do? You just need to bomb a test. You just need to not study and get an F and just get it over with so that you can say, oh, you know what? I am not a straight-A student, but I'm okay because Jesus died for me, and I belong to God because of what Jesus did for me. That's my identity. That's kind of what you're doing with Thanksgiving, is saying, I might be sick, I might be healthy, I can do that. I might be poor, I might be hungry, whichever one of those God wants to, you know, poor or rich, hungry or well-fed, whichever one of those two God wants to give me, thank you, God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because whatever God gives me is good. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be anxious about it because He's in charge. So turn away from your anxieties and to the Lord in prayer. Okay, that's law. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm not saying, by law, I don't mean you can just say, well, I don't have to do that because it's law. No, you actually are supposed to turn to the Lord in prayer. But what is God, here's the gospel. What does God do for you to enable this shift to happen? The shift that we call repentance. Away from anxiety, or whatever other sin we might want to talk about. We're talking about anxiety night. Away from anxiety and back to the Lord. How does God do this? And that's the funny little phrase that's right smack dab in the middle of our epistle reading tonight. And the commentaries that I read all pointed out that this is just kind of a weird, just pops up in the middle there. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And then, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, etc. Right in the middle of our text is this little tiny phrase, the Lord is at hand. What is that doing in there? That is the gospel fuel that will empower you to turn away from your anxieties to the Lord. Here's what I mean. Here's what Paul means. Here's why he's telling you this. What does it mean, the Lord is at hand? Well, first of all, the Lord is Jesus, right? But it's not a nickname for Jesus. It's actually his title. He is the master of the universe. He is the creator and the sustainer and the redeemer of all things. He was there at the very beginning. He became a human being and allowed himself to be hung up on a cross, not as an act of defeat, but as an act of ruling and reigning over all things. And now, that Lord who rules, he's completely sovereign. He rules and reigns over every single cent in your checking account. He rules and reigns over every single blood cell that's coursing through your body right now. He rules and reigns over every single conversation or non-conversation that happens in that awkward relationship that you're worried about. He rules and reigns over your job 10 years from now, or your lack of a job 10 years from now. That Lord is at hand. He's right around the corner. He will be here any minute. And when he gets here, he will set all things to right. So, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Last night, we had some friends over for dinner, and while they were there, the Blues game was wrapping up, and I saw that it was in overtime. Some of you watched this game last night. I saw that it was in overtime, and the Blues have not played well this year. And so I did what, you know, a good host would do at a dinner party, which is I got my phone and I told Harry to come with me, and we watched it for just a couple seconds, and then until Angela said, put that phone away and come back here. In the game, you know, it's overtime, and then there's a penalty, a really, really dumb penalty. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. And so they're down a man, and you just know the Blues are going to lose. And Harry and I are like, oh, this is bad. They're going to blow this. And then there's a breakaway, a shorthanded breakaway, and they win the game 4-3. So all we saw was literally the last minute of the game. And so I was back on TV this morning. You know how Fox Sports Midwest replays the game from the night before sometimes. So we got up this morning and we watched it. And we had none of the same feelings. We watched it because we wanted to kind of see the buildup to it and see the whole overtime with the whole drama and everything. But we actually weren't nervous at all like we were the night before, because we knew what was going to happen in the end. That's what Jesus is doing for you in this text. He's doing two things. First of all, he's saying, I'm almost there. I'm right around the corner. And when I get there, everything that you're worried about will be set to right. But the second thing he's doing is by telling you in advance it's going to be okay, and you know the end of the story already now, he's dragging that future glory into your present anxious life and quieting and calming you down. And if we can do this, it can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're listening to the Word now, and the Holy Spirit's creating this in your heart. You're going to come to the rail in a few minutes, and Jesus himself is going to be working this in your heart through the bread and the wine. If we can get to the place where we can actually believe that Jesus is almost here, and when he gets here, all these things that we worry about now will be nothing. We will be closer and closer to genuine mental, emotional, psychological health. Our feelings, our thoughts becoming untwisted and unworried, because Jesus is rescuing us and pulling us into his kingdom. And then at that point, it'll totally make sense the way that Paul closes off this text here. At that point, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will be with your hearts, your emotions, and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.